This is Freedom 106.5 FM, 106.5 FM. Your solution for current affairs and talk. Join the conversation today as we build a better nation. Insightful discussions and interviews on national progress, the latest developments in environmental, social, and governance, plus corporate social responsibility. Freedom 106.5 FM gives you a voice. Freedom to inspire. Freedom to change. Speak your mind with Freedom 106.5 FM. This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome, TNT. Welcome, welcome. If you're just joining us here at Freedom 106.5 FM, I'd like to welcome to the studio of Freedom 106.5 FM, Joshua Regrello. Welcome, welcome. How are you doing?
Hey, not too bad. Good morning to Trinidad and Tobago and the world. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you're looking so energized, right?
You being serious?
Well, yeah. you look fresh. Like, you know, I'm here and I'm ready to go.
I don't feel like this is what energy looks like.
Serious?
I don't think so.
So already, well, I know the carnival season has started already. So yes. You were out performing last night?
Yeah, or? I had brunch with Wine & Boy in Valentine yesterday.
Wow.
So that was my first fete of 2025.
Mm-hmm. So let's introduce Joshua Regrello. He is a global champion, and his name, of course, Joshua Regrello, the Pan Man himself, from being the youngest captain of the largest conventional band to performing on the Great Wall of China, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and attempting the Guinness World Record. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Joshua. How did it start? Where you went to school? Let's start from there.
Yeah. Okay, so first thing, I was the youngest captain of a large conventional, not largest. I started playing pan when I was three. Literally grew up in a pan family. So literally, like, grew up in a pan yard, spent all of my time in a pan yard. With not just starting playing pan at three, I also started performing between like three and five.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember my first performance, I was, I think, in first year, played bits of paper at Naprima Bowl in South. My family came, we ram out Naprima Bowl just to hear me play like 10 seconds of music on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I've been living this life of a performer for as long as I could remember.
What was it feeling like hearing that sound, that unique sound for the first time? What did it do to your mind? I mean, 3 years old is one thing, but as you get a little older, what was it that, you know, resonated with you?
Yeah, I don't know, because, you know, I think like for some people, it's you know, like they may come from a next world and find music and they hear it for the first time and it's like, oh my god, this is amazing, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I literally grew up in a pan yard. Like I learned to ride a bike in a pan yard. I learned to like socialize in a pan yard. I learned everything in a pan yard. So the sound of steel pan was literally like my background music. You know, people just play like white noise and things to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I was literally falling asleep to pan.
So someone tuning a pan in the pan yard
was a regular song.
Was a regular thing for
yeah,
you. You know, that drives a lot of people crazy and they cannot understand.
Yeah, but for me, like, we just got used to it. Like, my dad literally had my brother and I, we literally were in the pan yard all day, every day. We were always there. So to me, it's just I've gotten very used to it.
All right, and what are you talked about the early experiences. What was like the first experience coming together in an ensemble for you to perform somewhere? What it felt like that for you?
I think it felt like a coming of age moment, because I grew up in a pan yard. I grew up around a steel band, and I grew up around people who became basically family and would have seen me growing up. So to then reach the point where I'm able to perform with them, I feel it was like a coming of age kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun, but these people became like my family. And so pan is literally like my life. It's all I really know. I've been a performer for years, 20 something years at this point. And we've been traveling the world playing pan since, and I've been doing that since I was in primary school. So it's just all something that I've done and known, and it is my life. It's what I breathe, it's what I think about, it's everything.
So the identity of Trinidad and Tobago is deeply tied with the steel pan. How do you see yourself, your role in the development of the instrument? What is your role?
I have no idea. I don't think about that ever.
Really?
Yeah, that's a big question and a big responsibility. It's So I mean, it's just about me figuring out what I think is fun for myself, what is cool for myself. Even with this last, I don't even want to say achievement, this last project to do the longest marathon, it wasn't necessarily about, you know, a lot of people would have said, you know, I and the team united the nation, and we never imagined that impact.
Well, it did, because at that point in time, you know, we were looking for something positive to hold on to. There was so much negativity going around, and then the way in which social media was presenting itself, you just came and you changed the entire frequency and vibe of it.
Yeah, but for us, you have to remember, like, we could never imagine that that would have happened. Ever. Even, and the thing is, what the beauty of that was that even while it was happening, we did not know. Because I, well, for me, I was just focused on playing PAN.
On playing it,
And I would have not been able to, like, see the comments and see, like, the social media support until afterwards. So, like, things like that, it's never about trying to do something to, you know, like, push. It's not necessarily that we're trying to, like, do this for PAN or push for PAN. It's just, like, it's just different projects. It's things to, I guess, keep myself busy.
Keep
myself
doing.
And this is, like, this is my career. So it's also, like, to just keep my career. Some of it is just to pay bills, really and truly. Like,
so, you know? And I like that about you, because you didn't have the intention to make it into a big splashy thing.
Yeah.
This was the residuals of actually wanting to, you know, as I say, do projects and really put your passion into it.
Yeah.
Now, from the perspective of modernizing and really revolutionizing how Trinidad and Tobago citizens see PAN, I'm surprised you say you don't see a role, because from your social media presence, that's all you are. That's your heart and your soul.
Yeah.
So I think you're revolutionizing it without really knowing that you're doing it.
I mean, I just don't think about it. I feel like that's a big responsibility, and it's not one that I want to necessarily take up or say that I'm taking up. It's just we just do what we had to do, really, actually, every single day.
And from the perspective of a young person, really keeping up the tradition of, you know, carrying on the torch of PAN, you're doing a pretty good job. I mean, it's heartening to see that a lot of young people are getting back into it.
Yeah.
What would be some of the advice that you give? Because this is, as you say, it's a huge passion. It's a part of who you are. Balancing that work life and PAN life, and then love life.
Yeah.
You know, how do you find that balance?
Well, I feel the good thing with PANists is that I feel like most PANists find love in the PAN yard. Like,
right.
You know, it's a husband and wife in a band or something like that. I feel like that's like a common thing.
So that's your future?
I have a girlfriend and she does not play PAN at
really?
All.
Really?
Yeah.
Does she like it?
Yeah, she does. Like, I think we met our first day the day after we went to, she told me she was going to, and she didn't know anything about me.
Mm-hmm.
So the day after, she's like, yeah, I'm going to listen to PAN tomorrow. There's like a PAN competition. I was like, oh, I'll come.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best advice I will give anybody is really and truly just keep playing. Like, everyone just keep playing. Cause, there've been phases in my life where I didn't like PAN. There were phases in my life where I did not want to play PAN at all, because it was so much a part of my life. Like, I was playing PAN
all the time.
And it's like, when you're a child, and this song's so like stupid when you get older, but it's like, after there was like, I remember there was one brain cooler, you know, school is closed, it's brain cooler, everybody going on Lime anymore. I couldn't go because I had a performance and I was so mad. And now that you're older, you're like, but when you're a child, those are the things that, you know, you look forward to. You didn't really have much to do, much socializing. That was the moment where everybody was socializing.
Right.
I wanted to go dance a girl, you know, like I wanted to go out there, be with the girls, thing, but it's like, no, I had to go and perform. And so there were phases like that where I just did not like PAN. I didn't understand what I was doing necessarily. But I think it's just keep playing. Like, every time I see somebody and they come up to me and they ask for advice, I say just keep playing it. Like, you learn so much from it. You learn so much about life, about yourself from being in a steel band. There's so much discipline that comes from it.
Comes from it, yeah.
There's so much. You learn about people working together for a common goal. And, you know, when you really be able to sit down and look and analyze it from like an objective perspective, like, if you just go in the PAN yard and take yourself away from being in it and just look at what is happening, it's 100 people, and not even people playing PAN, people's families who making sandwiches, who doing this, who doing this, who doing this, all working together for like months, maybe 2 months. I'm talking about for Panorama in particular, for like a month, 2 months, every night, just for one common goal, to go and play 8 minutes of music on a stage. Like, when you think about it as a concept, it is amazing. And it, like, And the best part about it is that there's some bands who, like, it's a gamble. Like, there's some bands who, like, may not have a history of success, mm-hmm. but they, to them, it's not even about success. It's not even about going to try and win Panorama. They're just doing this because it is what keeps their community alive.
Alive,
or keeps
yeah.
the youth doing something positive. It's just about, it's about doing something. I think that's, for me as well, it's not about, you know, a role and what I think my responsibility is. It's just about doing something, and this is what keeps you going. This is a, I did a interview, like, the morning of the marathon, and they were like, you know, what do you think this means for Pan? And I told them, you know, like, and they asked why I was doing it, and I was like, you know, I couldn't figure out why I was doing it, mm-hmm. but the morning I woke up, I realized why I was doing it, because this is like, I do this for me. This is what keeps me alive.
Right.
Like, the night before the marathon, I could not sleep. Like, and in my head, I was like, bro, you are going to play for 31 hours tomorrow.
Adrenaline rush.
Please sleep. And I was up until like 10:30, and then I woke up immediately at like 3 a.m. Like, no alarm, I woke up. And that morning, I was so excited. So when I did the interview, I was like, I told them, like, I do this for me. Like, this is what makes me feel alive. Like, these moments make me feel alive. It's not about glory, fame, or anything. And I felt like, I felt bad saying that because it seems like narcissistic, but I don't mean it from like a narcissistic way. And it's not about popularity. It's not about fame. It's that me and everyone that plays Pan, like, we could tell you this is like, this is when we feel alive. Like,
yeah.
this is like, even talking about it right now, I'm like excited.
Yeah, the ring of it, the sound of it, and the sticks in your hand is like, a totally yeah. different feeling.
If you ask anyone what Panorama is like, it is bliss.
Electricity. Like,
on
yeah.
that, you ever played Panorama?
Yes.
It's
yeah.
you know when you're on that stage, it
rumbles, it shakes under you. Yeah.
The wheel stops and all the lights are on you. Mm-hmm. Like, every light on the wheel is on you in that moment, and it's like you feel connection, everybody's connected. It is, and that's why we do this. It's not about responsibility, it's not about, it's just for moments like that, really.
Yeah, and it uplifts the country, because this being our national instrument, and I'm going to ask you how you feel about it being included in the coat of arms.
Yeah.
How you feel about that?
Great.
Yeah, like long time coming, yeah. right?
I mean, a lot of people were like messaging me on that day, what do you think about this? You
yeah.
say something. I was like, this is nice, but you know, everything that moves Pan forward is good
it's
for me. Everything that moves
yeah.
Trinidad forward is good for me, but it's not like, I'm not going to be like too ecstatic, because I'm happy, but you know, I enjoy it really and truly.
Just going back to the Guinness World Record, the whole putting together and producing it, what went into it? How did you train for it? I see one of our technicians asking, well, your wrists still yeah. okay? Are they swollen? You know, yeah. what went into it?
There was no training at all. I had three
no lifting weights.
Nah.
Nothing.
Well, I mean, I go to the gym right now. It's not very evident by my body, but yeah, I go to the gym. But I think the month before, I didn't go to the gym. So like all of December, I wasn't in the gym, because when I go to the gym, I'm too tired literally afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And I had three practice sessions. I did 2 4-hour sessions and 1 8-hour session. And the 8-hour session was literally the Sunday before. So it was like the Friday we did this attempt. The Sunday was the 8-hour session. And when I was doing that, I was like, wow, I am insane. Why am I doing this? This is hard. This is terrible. Also, because I spend a lot of time on TikTok and stuff, so my brain is fried. So doing anything for a long period is very difficult for me. And yeah, it was. And I had a team of doctors, so like 2 friends and my aunt. And I was just really like asking them questions and trying to figure out like what is the best thing.
Mm-hmm. What strategy to use?
Yeah, it was more about like, you know, like how do I use the bathroom? Should I take this or not use the bathroom? Do we need IV? All of those things. So it's like asking them requirements. I would say that is the most preparation we did. It was really me just being, having no concept of what makes sense, you know, and just saying we're going to do this and then doing it, you know. And to prove my point to you, I literally had a performance the day before. And the day after.
Yeah, you told us that coming into the studio that you got up like nothing and performed the very next day, which I was like, nah, 31 hours standing on your feet.
Yeah, no, I sat for like most of it, really, actually. Yeah.
I remember
seeing a comment and it was like, Joshua, if you don't stand up, like while playing somebody's show, it's like, if you don't stand up, you can't get this record. And I was like, bro, you come and try and stand up for 31 hours.
Exactly.
No way. Yeah, yeah.
Another question that was bandied about in the earlies of hearing that you're going to attempt it is the repertoire.
Yeah.
You know, how are you going to play songs for 31 hours? We don't have enough material. It's not going to sound good. Did any real thought or planning go into that part of it? Or was it like, okay, you know how some of us read music by sight and all and just
I can't read music at all, you know.
Really?
Yeah, no, I can't.
So tell me about that process.
As I said before, I am really on the level, you know the youth to say fully done? That is me. I literally put my set list together the day before.
Okay.
Yeah, and it got to a point where I was like, I wanted to add more songs, mm-hmm. but the process of, because, so what you're allowed to do is you're not allowed to repeat a song within a 4-hour period, mm-hmm. right? So you need to for sure have 4 hours of music. And the break between each song could only be up to 30 seconds, right? So what I had to do the day before was like all the songs I knew I could play, I had to make sure that there was no like long delay in the beginning of it and the after of it, right? Mm-hmm. So that took a little while of like some of the songs I had to cut a little bit just to make sure that it wasn't too long before or after. And the thing is, I think a lot of people underestimate, especially musicians, how many songs we actually know. Like if you're a pianist, you've been in the Panhard more than likely for like all your life. Mm-hmm. And that comes with knowing a lot of songs. So it's really just trusting yourself, trusting your mind, trusting your body, trusting
muscle memory.
Literally. Mm-hmm. I like how you said that together. Yeah, just trusting it. That is what muscle memory is about. And there's a big misconception that I play 30 hours of like new music, a different song, and that mm-hmm. I really wish, but it wasn't. I think we had like 200 songs that we kind of repeated. So I think some songs repeated 3 times, some songs repeated 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just about, these are the songs that I've played like all my life. And I knew
you crossed genres as well. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I think mm-hmm. we did gospel, reggae, funk, soca, calypso, chutney, world, and Latin.
Right.
I think it was like 8 genres.
And tell me about the support that came out, because a lot of artists found your location.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, came out in full numbers. Talk to me about that. Who came and what was the vibe like when they arrived?
I mean, yeah, we got so much support, not just even from like artists. We had artists, we had instrumentalists, we had mic men, and then we just had people.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it, especially like the people I knew about, like I already spoke to like artists and like mic men to come and just like help me get through it, because I know for sure I couldn't do this by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a lot of them confirmed. We had people like Voice, we had Phone at Bigford, we had Ansel Valley, we had Hype Man, we had the Hype Man, Patrick Hype Man, we had Major Penny, we had Ultra Simo, we had comedians, we had Thaddy Boom, we had Rome, we had College Boy Jesse, we had Preedy, Nadia Batson, we had there's a guy who plays, his name is Timberley's guy, but he also like known popularly for playing a Tassa. We had a drummer, Noah, we had Java Neptune, a djembe player, we had Ajibola who plays djembe, Christian Floyd on guitar. It was like a full show
of musicians,
literally,
and talent.
And
yeah,
you know, it's like it was showing unity, it was showing community, but we also just had people showing up. I remember between like 3 and 6 a.m. that's when I was like really feeling tired,
mm-hmm.
and we got to the set kind of reset, so we had to we got to the soca point, and there was a crew there, and I could remember like all of their faces vividly, jumping up like it was a fete, like
juve morning,
no, like literally. And I hope we have footage of that. It was a fete. It was literally, and that's what kept me going. It was everybody being a part of it and like pushing through. And they were literally fetting, like literally every song, singing word for word, screaming at the top of their lungs, you know. And it was just like, I remember vividly Sonny Bling coming at like 6:30 a.m. He would just keep singing, "Go, Joshua, go, go." And that was, you know, in those moments where you're like, you're feeling like your body's dipping.
Yeah.
You're hearing that and it's like, nah, we had to keep going. And there was people who were constantly on the live as well, you know, and they were messaging saying, "Yo, Joshua, we here since 6 a.m. Don't get tired. We here with you."
Mm-hmm.
So it was really community and community strength.
That really pushed you forward.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about being an ambassador for Pan and Trinidad and Tobago, and more specifically the trip that you took to China. Because, like I said, social media has a way of bringing forward, you know, your energy and the way in which you like to tell us about that. And do you see Pan as an instrument to really bridge cultural gaps like that?
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. So I was privileged to go to China actually twice last year. And I'm very grateful for that, because the first time I went, I was invited by the Trinidad and Tobago Embassy in China.
Mm-hmm.
We were celebrating, I think it was 50 years of diplomatic relations between China and Trinidad and Tobago. The 50 years might be wrong, but I think it's 50 years. So we had I had a performance there, and that's when I was able to like go to the Great Wall, perform on the Great Wall. The thing about that trip is I was really pressed, like so depressed. So like when I was there, I didn't even leave my hotel room unless
it wouldn't show like that.
But nah, because a lot of what you saw was from the second trip.
Mm-hmm.
So the first trip, like I didn't even like post content or anything because I was so depressed. Like I literally did not leave my hotel room unless it was something on the itinerary.
Mm.
And when I came back, I was like, wow, this probably was a missed opportunity. And then literally like a month after, it was like, yeah, you going back.
Mm.
Because we entered the video into the there's a organization in China that had a competition, a social media competition to enter videos. We entered that video and we won. And the prize for that was being invited back to China for like a three-week tour.
Okay.
So I went back and it was just, that's when I made all the content really.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing that struck me as, you know, that could be applied to Trinidad was the steps that create electricity.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that you promoted that, I could see that work in Citygate. Were there other examples where it could have translated to TNT's culture?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that that they have in China that is just like mind blowing. I feel like we could apply in, like, first of all, they're like robots that do a lot of things for them. The way they use social media. There's the how do you phrase that? There's internet shopping. So like, people who like just sell like a bunch of handbags.
Right.
Like, I saw that in real life and it's crazy, but they do it and you're like literally buying things in real time. But just quickly to answer your question about how Pan could like merge cultures. I definitely saw that because everywhere I performed, you know, it's one, this is a place where there's a strong language barrier. But once you perform, these people hear it, it is a connection immediately. Mm-hmm. And there's also a fascination by these people with this instrument, because this is an instrument that they have never seen before. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this is a fairly new instrument. Mm-hmm. So it's genuinely that they don't know anything about it now.
Right.
So it's really cool to see and see. Like, I know for sure this was my ace in the park. Like, anywhere I go, I pull this out, it's all over. Everybody's going to come, surround and be amazed by it. So it's very interesting to see.
All right. Seeing that you have achieved so much in a very short space of time, being as young as you are, what advice you have to give to young people listening, especially as a Pan man? Because, you know, some people say Pan ain't gonna take you nowhere. And applying it to other aspects of life, what advice would you have to give them?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like success is always guaranteed. And like, if you apply the rules of success, which is like working hard, but also working smart, committing to what you do, and just, I think, trying to be different. That's like my best advice. I always say try to be different, because it's a lot of, everything that you do is going to be oversaturated, no matter, even if you think you pick something so specific, there's going to be people in the world trying to also do that. So I think you just have to try to have a little edge and be a little different. With that, I think success is guaranteed. The main thing though is that it's the when. Like, in a lot of places, it's the waiting game. In a lot of cases, it's the waiting game. So there's like this big thing where they talk about the moment where you want to quit is right before when things are going to work out now. So I just always tell people, just wait it out, you know, like, it's going to work out. Like, it will work out. I promise you it will. It just might take a while. And that's
a little
the hard
longer.
Thing. Yeah. So even like with me, I feel like I've been doing this for 20 something years. And, you know, there's so many people, even in Trinidad and Tobago, who like are hearing about you for the first time.
Yeah.
And that is just showing off, like, one, it is like a waiting game, I think, but also just don't underestimate how much people won't know. You know, like, even though we live in a small country, your face could be plastered all over on billboards all over, and there are going to be people who've never heard about you, and they might be the people who you need to take your business or whatever you do to the next level. So it's a bit of a waiting game, but just keep applying the rules of success, because it is proven to work for people. So just work hard, literally just work hard, work smart, and just be consistent, really and truly.
Be consistent. That's one of the keys, being consistent and actually loving what it is you do. Now, finally, the Guinness World Records, they will be contacting you to verify everything.
Yes.
What is the last part of the process?
So this week, we have to compile everything and send to them. So all the video footage. And we kind of just waited until like this week, because one of the elements is media. So like, you have to get like articles and stuff. So we kind of waiting for all the media articles to post, etc., etc., so we could send it up to them. So this week, we send everything up to them. And then within 5 days, we'll know for sure if this is confirmed as a world record by Guinness.
So we're keeping our fingers crossed. And
fingers crossed.
Sending all the positive vibes towards you.
Received.
Yeah? What are the plans for Joshua Regrello moving forward for 2025?
I have no idea, genuinely.
Oh, God, you just crashed your question.
Yeah.
So, okay, for 2025 Carnival then. You don't know what band you'll be playing with.
Oh, I play Yuma every year. Yeah, I play Yuma for like the last 3 years.
I really meant Pan.
Shucks. Nah, for some reason, when you said Carnival, I thought so. I actually haven't played Panorama in like the last 4 or 5 years, you know.
Really?
Yeah, only because like, it's gotten so busy for me, genuinely. And I normally do a concert called the Pan Man Concert. I'm actually, unfortunately, not doing it this year. But I would have done it like, it's been 3 years, and almost each year it was literally like on or after the day of Pan Semis.
Right.
So that, yeah, I think last year, well, not last year, before, it was like the day after Pan Semis. And then this year it was like a couple of days before. So with that, it's just like the time to go and learn.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want to be that guy who just shows up like the day before and plays in Pan Am.
Right.
Everybody's like, bro,
you're the crack shot. What do you mean?
Yeah, that would be real. That'd
you are the
off,
shutter.
You know, so I would have played, I play with Skiffle, like Skiffle
Skiffle
in South,
right.
And that's my dad's band. So I just find that even makes it worse now, you know, since they just show up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put you in front and it just, that would just look real bad. And genuinely, like the time, I don't have it. Like, and I don't even know like what performances I have, because a lot of it like is, I think a lot of people underestimate how much things are last minute.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like, I'm on my quality today, yo, we really need you today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go out. So I don't even know what I have, but I'm also not a well-planned person. So all that I'm telling you right now might not even happen. You might see me at Panorama Finals.
You never know.
You might, yeah.
It really depends on how you feel on the day.
Yeah, I think people underestimate that. And I tell people all the time, I'm not a planned person.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
The thing is, the way in which things go, it seems like you've got a plan.
Nah,
and you know exactly, well, from 10 to 30 to 11, I'm going to be doing this.
Never.
You know? Really?
Never. I don't even...
Some parents right now probably saying, don't listen to him. You have to plan everything.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I feel like we've really pushed that for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lived a life... Like, I've said this on radio. Like, if people go, like, in the archives, I've said this on radio every single time that I'm not a planned individual.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worked so far, you know? Because we're not all... Like, we don't all think the same way. Like, my brain does not function on, like... very rigid schedules. Like, I'm
right.
not that person. And I've long accepted that.
So I think most creatives are like that.
Yeah, and yeah. I think, and that's the thing, like, creatives, we're very specific in a lot of things that we do. So it's like a lot of things that people try to, like, box us in, we're not going to work like that.
Mm.
And then trying to conform to that is not going to work for us. So, like, for me, I don't even pretend, like, I would make a plan home for a year, nah, this is what you're going to do for January. And it never works. Like, I don't have the discipline to do this, but I also have the discipline to... I don't have the discipline to stick to that plan, but I know for sure I have the discipline to say, all right, boom, today I have to do this, we go and get that done no matter what.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just go with that. It's not to say, like, I'm living a life with no discipline and no focus or anything. I'm just not well-planned. Like, I'm not structurally planned, if that makes sense.
Well, at the same time, I think that, as I said, it works out.
Yeah,
when you have a vision on what the overall idea is,
yeah.
and then you'd be able to move forward to that. So, in closing, two words that you'll give to the country right now as we're stepping into an election season, what two things you would like to remind them about? And well, I guess we'll just have to stick to your social media to find out where you will be next.
No, real love and unity.
Mm.
You know, I think especially, I think we just need love, always need love. And in seeing like what were like the effects of this marathon, you know, people were always all talking about, you know, we needed unity, we needed to come together.
Yeah.
I feel like the fact that we say we need this shows that we need it. So just love and unity. And I think with elections, it always brings about a kind of division in the country.
Yeah.
So I think with that, which is, I guess, natural, I think we should just remember love and unity and just not to let something that is going to be just a couple of months.
Yeah, affect.
Yeah, because I have so many instances, especially because my dad is a politician. You know, I have so many people who were on like the opposing side who would have just done said stuff, and I'm like, and I will never remember. I will never forget that for the rest of life now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, don't let that affect relationships that you have or stuff. I just remember love and unity.
Thank you so much, Joshua, for joining us today. And congratulations once again. And we're keeping our fingers crossed for that certification, that huge certificate.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
All right. So then we could call you the Guinness World Record holder, Joshua Regrello.
Wait, please don't. I think that's too much.
Nah, man. We're speaking it into
fruition. People
into
already started calling me 31. Like, everywhere I go, hey, 31. Just call me Joshua, please.
All right, TNT. So you heard from Joshua Regrello right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Thanks again for joining us.
Of course.
And you'll be seeing it on our podcast, on our social media sites. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Cheers.